Jesus Christ will bring. Yeah. Hallelujah. Welcome to church again this morning. We just thank God for the gift of life, for the privilege to be here. And in case you don't understand how powerful the gift of life is, just die. If you die, you understand how wonderful the gift of life is. Amen. So since you are not dead, thank God for giving you the gift of life. Appreciate God this morning. I'd like you to turn your Bibles with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. I'll read 3 to 4 verses of scripture there about this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. The book of the preacher, chapter 11, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, from verse 4. This morning, God is impressing on my heart that we speak on preparing for a harvest. Preparing for a harvest. Preparing for a harvest, or preparing for harvest, anyone that your English accepts. I know both are correct, so just use. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4. If you found it, say amen. Those who are still looking should say nothing. Just keep looking. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Verse 4 says, from the New King James Version, he who observes the wind will not sow. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know what is the way of the wind and how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. In the morning sow your seed, and in the evening do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. He who observes the wind will not sow. As we come to the end of another year, and we're transitioning from one year to another, and for some of us who might not even be aware, you are transitioning from one decade to another. I feel God drawing my heart to this topic, passage of scripture, just use as a foundation to what I believe God wants to say to us this morning. And I hope that as we come to the end of this year, we can understand and should understand that every end of year is a reminder that, like, every hour, every day, every year, every month, every second in your life is an opportunity. A good way to think about it is that every year is a field. Every year of your life is a field. Every day of your life is a field. I'm using a farming analogy, so please just allow me to keep doing so. And the preacher says to us in Ecclesiastes 11 verse 4, he says, if you use the wind to determine when you sow, you will not sow. If you use the clouds to determine when you will reap, you will not reap. In essence, you cannot use your circumstances to determine your activity. Your actions should never, ever be as a result of your circumstances. Your actions should be the product of the principles that guide your life. So the psalmist, the preacher says to us, you will have opportunities to sow, you will have opportunities to reap, but you must be intentional about it. You must be intentional about it. It's good to also remember that it is what you sow that becomes your harvest. If you do not sow, you cannot reap. And as I meditated on this passage and even on what God wants to say to us, it dropped on my heart that the harvest determines how you will go through your next season. You see, every harvest is a door to the next season. Just think about it with me. That your harvest determines the seed for your next season. So when people farm, they don't farm just to eat. They farm to provide for the next season that they're going to plant. Hello? So a harvest is not an end. It is a new beginning. And it's important we understand that, because when people talk about harvest a lot in Christianity, we talk about it as if it's an end. But when God gives a harvest, or when you get a harvest, it is not an end, it is a new beginning. It is a door opening to another season of your life. It is the call to another season of planting. So when people farm and they don't get a harvest, they begin to worry about what will happen next year. And so think about it this way and link it to our lives as human beings. It means that if I don't have a harvest in this year, then I have done something wrong in this year. And what do I do for next year? And I believe that's part of the reason why God is saying to us, we need to learn how to prepare for harvest. We can't talk about every single dimension of preparation, but we'll talk about some things this morning by God's grace. Because you see, The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Very true. No lie about that. But it's possible to have seed and not use it for what it's meant for. And so when you say, I want harvest in my life, it's important to also remember that harvest is not accidental. How many of you have, or how many of you have ever gone to a place where there is the floor? Like, look, let's look at this church. You come to church every day. Imagine if you enter this church one day and you saw a tree growing from the floor. And it is still this German floor that is there. I can bet some of us will never come here again. Because there is logically no way. Unless the tree breaks through, there is no way that this floor will be made and there will be habit. Or there will be a planting or there will be anything. So it applies also in our lives. I don't want to digress too much, but you can't have a hard heart and expect your heart to produce. Harvests are not accidental. There's no accidental nature. The preacher says, if you look at the wind, if you look at the clouds, you won't get a harvest. In verse 6, it says, in the morning, sow. In the evening, sow. He's talking about an intentional action. Any harvest, any proceed, any profit that will come into our lives as Christians, as human beings, will be a product of our intentionality. Many years ago, I remember when I was getting married, I was praying to God one day. And I prayed to God about getting married. And, you know, if you grow up in my time, my time is not very far, but let me just use that phrase. If you grow up, when I was growing up as a Christian, they taught you that you need to pray for everything and pray, and when you pray, everything will be resolved. Let me keep quiet before they come and send me out of church. Let me add a dimension to that. As I was praying, I remember I was praying about it. And I heard God say to me, even if I give you my perfect will for you, you can still have a bad marriage. I'm like, how is that possible? If you gave me your perfect will, he said, no. He said, I cannot make your marriage work for you. I can only teach you how to make your marriage work for you. He said, it is the two of you that makes your marriage work. So you need to develop yourself so that your marriage will work. He said, but if you think you can be praying down blessing and praying down everything, he said, it will work. So if you are stubborn like I can be sometimes, you will learn the lesson by force. So years down the line, I know that I have learned the lesson. If you don't get better, your marriage will not get better. And it applies to every other part of your life. A marriage will only produce what you put into it. Your job will only produce what you put into it. You know something people don't know. I don't know why, but I believe this is where God wants to go. So I'll be going as the Spirit is going. What people don't understand is this: People always notice effort, even if they don't talk about it. And as long as people and the ones are going to bless you, as long as God is going to use you to bless you, it is how much they notice that they need to measure. I remember someone, I can't remember where I was, but someone was talking about someone they know and said, you can never come to the office before that person. And the person said, look, I even intentionally tried to get to the office at 6 a.m. and I met the person. And then you think, for example, and I say, oh, what to promote the hardworking person in this office, and then you, that you come at 9 o'clock, you now start raising your hand. It's amazing how people want to be promoted, but they are not prepared for the harvest that they are looking for. You are asking God for a blessing that you don't have the power for. I'm going to say the potential of the seed and the desire of the wishes of the farmer will not automatically produce harvest. Because a seed is good does not mean harvest will automatically come. Because a farmer wants a bumper packing, bumper harvest does not mean harvest will automatically come. There's intentionality. There are things that we must do to get harvest. So let's talk about some things we need to do to get harvest. Join me as we look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. I'm sure all of you can, most people can both quote this passage offhand. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. So what the Bible people, what is Luke 6, 38? Yes. Luke 6, 38 says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Give, and it will be given back to you. What precedes receiving? What comes before receiving? Give. He didn't say, it will be given back to you. Then give. He says, give, and it will be given back to you. So when you use and, what does that mean? Hello? English major. When you use and, what does that mean? Conjunction. You are bringing two things together. And you are making them what? So there is no receiving where there has been no giving. You cannot ask for love where you have not given love. You are a thief. That's what it says. If you don't give love, don't ask for love. If you have not given help, you don't have the right to ask for help. That's what it says. So what's the first thing that prepares me for a harvest? It is that I give effort. I put my effort. My effort must precede my harvest. He says, give and come back to you. Press down, shake it together, run it over. Abi? My effort precedes my harvest. You don't say, but when I have a harvest before I'm sow.
I know Pastor Dadop is a farmer. I wanted to do this message with him, but I didn't want him to be standing with me all through. God, I wanted to be asking him life questions so that I can answer. But I'm sure the first time you are going to plant on your field, you didn't have a harvest to start. You made a sacrifice.
start.
You hear people come and be telling you that they want to, until when this thing happens, you go take. But let me say this to us also, because I when I use harvest and effort, you must also understand another dimension of it. That the work to bring harvest is not easy. Psalm 126 verse 5 says, those who sow in tears, 126 verse 5, Psalms 126 verse 5 says, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. What do you sow in? Hello? What do you sow in? Hello? What do you sow in? You sow in tears. He didn't say sowing is easy. Effort is not easy. Sometimes this is what I think, that if it is easy, it is not worth it. It doesn't mean I don't like easy things. But the first thing that you must do if you are preparing for a harvest and you are preparing yourself to harvest is you must put in your effort first. And your effort will most likely not be easy. It says, if you go out sowing in tears, was the second thing that I need to know when I prepare for a harvest. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 5. Second thing that I need to know if I'm preparing for a harvest is I need to sort out my seed. I need to sort out my seed. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 5. Paul writing to the Corinthians said to them, so I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for the gift you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an exertion. Think about it. He says, I put that ESP. He says, I sent them ahead. I thought it necessary to send them ahead so that you can prepare for the gift. Now, it's not a tax, Abby. It's a gift that they promised. But he said, I want you to arrange it in advance. Make up beforehand, prepare it in advance. You need to sort out your seed. Nobody goes to the farm and says, well, I have rice and beans, and I just put them together. Have you? When you just put it together, let them be fighting together. You know what seed is what. Because every seed has a different potential. Every seed has different conditions to respond to. Every seed has different purposes. But you must know what seed is what. Even time, think about it. Look, every time for your life has a purpose. If you go to verse 10 of that 2 Corinthians chapter 9, talk about he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. So even God knows what is seed. He knows what is bread. He didn't say he gives bread to the sower
and seed to the eater. He says he gives seed to the sower. Do you know what is bread in your life? Do you know what is seed in your life? Or have we reduced God to a bread supplier? So all we do is everything God gives us is bread. That's not how it works. If you look at 1 Corinthians 15:38, the Bible says that God gives each seed its own body. Each seed its own body, so that every seed is not the same. Even though egusi looks like watermelon seed, it is not the same. Or is it the same? Ugu is green. Spinach is green. Are they the same? Sort out your seed. As we prepare to get a harvest, you desire to have a harvest, you need to know for yourself what is seed. You may even ask, add this thought to it. Also know what kind of farmer you are. If you give maize seed to a rice farmer, you are wasting effort. For a rice farmer, maize seed is bread. Hello? So you should understand something. Anything God puts in your hand and says it is seed is because you have the capability to grow it. God will never place a demand for you to grow what you don't have the capability to grow.
Talk about that one another day too. Because whenever Christians tell me that they don't have grace to give, I'm like, eh. We'll talk about it, but we'll talk about it next week. I'm going to talk about it. Enough is enough. Let's stop lying on God. What's the third thing that prepares us for harvest? John chapter 12, verse 24. John chapter 12, verse 24. John chapter 12, verse 24. John 12, 24 says, most assuredly. That means there is no doubt. That means you cannot turn it upside down. You cannot change it. This is true forever and ever because Jesus Christ was saying it. He said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. I know a lot of us, when you read it, you think he's talking about your life as in your bread. He's not talking just about your bread. He's talking about your life as a whole. Your properties, your ambitions, everything that makes you a living being. But look at that verse 24. He says, one of the things that precedes every harvest is the dying of the seed. If
I am going to prepare for the harvest, then I must allow the seed to die. Or better put in a way, I must allow the dying process to take place. This is what I believe, that both the sower and the seed must die. The sower must die to the seed, and the seed must die for the new one to come. The sower must die to the seed, because if you sow and you keep thinking, has the thing even started growing? I'm hungry, maybe we should just go and remove it from the ground and just eat it. You are not dead yet. You're not dead yet. First Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15. Verse 36. Just to buttress that point again. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 36. I like Paul. I've said it before, Paul is one of those people I don't like reading the Bible, but I've grown to love Paul now because he's using the kind of phrases I like. So, New King James Version, Paul says, "Foolish one." See, I'm going to tell, somebody told me many years ago, he said, "Stop insulting people." I'm going to tell the person, "Look, Paul used to insult people." I receive the anointing of God. Thank you. So I can insult people. He said, "Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies." If there is no dying, there is no living. On this side of eternity, if you don't die, you don't live. So for those who would like to misinterpret English, I don't mean you should go and kill yourself. Think about dying to yourself. It says, verse 37, "And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body." You don't sow your harvest. You sow something less than your harvest. That's what he said in verse 37. He says, "It is not what shall be that you have sown. It is an ordinary grain that you sow." So whatever you have as seed is always going to be less than what you can get on the other side. And I say that because too many people don't want to suffer. Please permit me to say this. If you can't suffer, you can't enjoy. There is a sense in which you have to pay a price for whatever you want. A life without cost is a 419 life. Can you allow your seed to die? Can you die to your seed? There is no harvest without a sacrifice. There is no harvest without a sacrifice. In Mark chapter 4, verse 26, Jesus was saying, he said, the parable of the good seed, of the seed. He said something. He said that the kingdom of God is as a man who scatters seed on the ground. I like the way he said he scatters seed. What does it mean to scatter? Spread. And when you spread, what is it? You do it indiscriminately. What does it mean to discriminate? You don't determine, you don't say, okay, let me put it here. You say you just spread it. You just let it go. At Ecclesiastes 11, verse 6, he said, you sow in the morning. You sow in the evening. Because you don't know what you want. You spread. That's why the sower must die. Because if you don't know how to die as a sower, you keep looking at what you are spreading. You keep measuring and say, God, am I not spreading too much? He said, spread. I like to talk. Who don't really do that? People that have rice can understand that, because that's what you do when you sow rice. You just cast it. What's the fourth thing? The first thing that I must do when I prepare for a harvest is that I must know the season and timing. Yes, I must defy the obstacles. I must know the season and timing, yet I must defy the obstacles. John 12:23, Jesus speaking said, but Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. And we read verse 24, he said, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. I need to know the timing and the season, because every seed does not operate the same way in every season. There's a right season for every seed. There's a right place for every seed. But you see, if you now add Ecclesiastes 11:4 to it, you will understand. Because in Ecclesiastes 11:4, it says, do not use the weather to determine the season of your time of sowing and time of harvest. Which means, and you know why he didn't say? You notice he didn't say, do not use the season. He said, do not use the wind. So because it is, you know, this is the season of planting. And then you come out and it's windy. And I said, today there's too much wind. Let me just go and lie down. Like Daddy always says, it will never get easier to pay tithe. Try it. The day your money increases and you calculate the tithe, as happened to me many times. You know, you just get money and then you calculate the tithe and you're like, no, it can't be correct. It can't be correct. I need to go and do this calculation. You read again. And it's correct. You're like, for God, the last month it was 1,000 naira. How can it be 6,000? And then you look outside and it's windy in your life. The storms have come. Your roof is leaking. I'm not saying that this can talk about in your life. You are looking at you are seeing the tithe that you know is a seed from you to God. And it's not even God. You are sowing into the seed of your life, into the field of your life. You don't sow your tithe to God. You sow your tithe as a seed into the field of your life. And then you are looking at it and you are saying, God, this wind is plenty. Let's just postpone the seed, the sowing to another day. The truth is, every planting or sowing postponed, his harvest postponed.
Hello? You understand? You agree? Even if you don't agree, it's the truth. But it's the truth. That's the truth. Let's not lie to ourselves. If I say I'm not going to sow this last planting, I don't sow, I'm not a farmer. But if I have a farm and I say, okay, no, this time, let's just leave it. I cannot wake up next when the harvest comes and say, where are the things we sold?
I'm sure the workers look at you and say, have you lied to me? Translation. Have you taken something?
Because you must have taken something to be expecting to sow where you did, to reap where you didn't sow. So the scripture talked about envy. That's why people envy a lot of times. Because they don't do the work, but they want to eat the fruit. Look, if you are doing your work, you don't have time to be seeing somebody else's fruit. Because when you are doing your work, look, if you have a farm, and you did your, and you saw something there, then you actually did that farm. That's why, like, how many of you go around and do something? Look at how much space he has.
But when you are going to look at the farm, where do you go to? The first time you saw this, you may even look at how this person's crop is doing well, but you don't see that and say, how can I be showing this person's crop? Because you have.
So, those of you that are envious, go and look for your own farm. Stop putting eye on other people's farm. Their farm didn't automatically appear, they worked for it. Know the time, but don't be distracted by the obstacles. I've come to learn that there's usually in your life, there will always be this time when it's as if your needs are more than your seed. But I've said it before, talking to that farm, and I realized that I've hardly met a farmer who will say, okay, look, because we are hungry, we will not farm this year. It is rare. I don't even know if it happens. They will rather farm and manage the little they have, because they are so sure that once everything goes right, then that time that they have, that will happen, that pain, that sorrow, it will pass. But you see, they know something, that they what they do not plant, they cannot harvest. So they will rather cry and wait for the harvest than not plant and then cry to them. Because when you don't harvest, you will cry at the time of harvest and you will still cry at the time of planting next time. Know your timing, know your season, but don't let the obstacles stop you. Don't let the obstacles stop you. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, I won't just go there again.
He said,
the measure you use is the measure with which it will be given back to you. That's the fifth thing. Determine your measure.
I like the way that Jesus said that.
He said, the measure you use, which means God cannot force you to use a measure. God will not force you. God will give you different kinds of measure. The only one you choose to do is your business. But he makes it clear that you cannot get more than what you have given. So if you sow in cups, they will use cups to measure it back to you. If you sow in tankers, no, it's not tanker, you can't use tanker to sow. If you use trailers to bring your seed, they will use trailers to pack your harvest. Can you even notice? Do you know something? I don't know if you thought about this, but think about this. Do you realize that every time Jesus gives a parable
for harvest, he never brings into consideration that the harvest can fail. Because whatever God is involved in,
it can be delayed, it can be tampered with, tricks can be played on it, but it will not fail. Determine your measure. Ecclesiastes 11:6, he says, in the morning, in the evening,
so I always find it funny when people say, I have given too much. Ha! It's not bad. You just have set a limit on your measure.
That's the truth. It's not a question of saying, oh, this one is bad. Look, the person who sows one cup of maize will reap only what one cup of maize can produce. Abi? And he also has a harvest. The person who sows one bucket of maize will reap what one bucket of maize can produce. He also has
a harvest.
Our harvest will never be the same because our measures will not be the same. That's why don't envy me. Go and change your measure. If you have a problem with somebody's harvest, go and change your measure. Don't spend time looking at people and complaining that this person, this one. People like to tell you, I told someone, I said, look, I'm talking about tithing. And I said to the person, there is no demon that can convince me that tithing is wrong. Even if Satan himself comes, he still won't convince me.
And the reason is simple. Me, I have seen it work for me.
I've seen the first fruit work for me. I've seen giving to people work for me. I'm not talking about money alone. I'm talking about time. Giving people a listening ear. Making yourself available for people. Making yourself available to God. Making yourself available to church. I've seen the things and sacrifices I've made pay off in ways that I never would have imagined. So there's no demon, whether in human form or demonic form, that can come and tell me otherwise. The times when in my life I would wish to not go anywhere. And then somebody calls you and says, I need to talk to you. Are you okay? Yes, I'm okay. Can you give me time? As much as my body is saying no, yes, I can give you time. And every time I've seen God use those people to speak for me. It is the measure that you use. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7 as I round up this morning. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. I've tried to provide as much biblical evidence as I can so that I'm not talking from my head. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. Says, but this I say, Paul is still talking to Corinthians, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Sparingly, bountifully, purpose.
It means that whatever you give it intentionally. If you say, it's the only thing I have in my pocket, you gave it intentionally. You didn't accidentally dip in your hand in your pocket, see 5 naira, for example, and say, when you saw the 5 naira, you asked yourself, should I give this 5 naira? Or, let me just... Purpose. You see, like I said, by God's grace, we'll still build on this, but please get me right. This is one thing I always said to you. Nobody should manipulate you to give to God. What is fairing to somebody might be bountiful to you. So, you have 5 naira in your pocket. That's your last 5 naira. You don't have any other 5 naira in this world. And you give to God because you love God. It is bountiful. Somebody else has 5,000 naira in his pocket, and then he looks for the 20 naira that has is tattered and torn, and even demons will not collect. And then he drops in his offering and says, I give better than this brother that gave 5 naira. You are sparing. I like the word sparing. You're supposed to keep going, and you just start getting into the position. Think of what sparing is. It means that you are sparing certain things, you are keeping something aside.
No two seeds produce the same result. We said that over and over again, so I don't think I need to re-emphasize that. But let me say this. When he says God loves a cheerful giver, it is important to understand that he's not talking about your emotions. If he was, then Psalm 126 verse 5 will not make sense. Because 126 verse 5 of Psalms tells us that they who walk out in tears, sorry, that those are happy. Have you? People that are going, if you are in tears, are you cheerful? Say, there goes who go in tears sowing will come back rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. And he creates a contrast. But you see, Paul says God loves a cheerful giver. He's not talking about your emotions. He's talking about their willingness. He's talking about a willful release. Those who give willfully, who give releasing. God loves those who release what they are given. So I want a harvest. Ready for a harvest, and you need to ask yourself the question, how much effort am I willing to put in? What sacrifice am I willing to make? What seed do I have in my hand? What am I supposed to die to? What am I even supposed to allow to die in my life? What season? What's the timing? What's the season that I'm not supposed to miss? Because sometimes one of the challenges a lot of us have is we miss the timing. Jesus said something to Jerusalem. He said, you have missed your day of visitation. And when you miss a season until when another one comes, Let's not be like the Jews who said, when Joshua said to Israel that there's no need for you to go and fight. They said, no, we are going back. He told them, he said, God already said, there's no need. If we go out of season, you will come back defeated. What measure are you using? I'd like for us to go to God in prayer this day as we play and I want you to meditate on the words. This harvest I need, this harvest I'm looking for, am I prepared? Am I preparing? Be it in your home, be it in your office place, be it in your spiritual life, be it in your financial state, are you prepared? Do you even know the seed that is in your hand? Look, some people are not working, but you have time. You don't have money, but you have time. Some people don't have enough time because of the kind of responsibilities they carry, but they have the money. Some people have money, have time. Some people have strength. What are you doing? Don't forget that everything you have is going to be judged. Everything you have ever had will be judged by God. It's not to make you afraid, it's just the truth. Bow our heads in prayer. I'd just like you to say something to God. Just say something to the Lord Almighty. Just pray for yourself. I won't tell you what to pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. There are people here in church this morning, and I sense God saying, you need to do more. As you listen, you are looking at your life and saying, I've not done enough yet. I've not done enough. I need to do more. You realize you can do more. You realize you have not done enough yet. You are asking for a harvest for what you have not done. Some of us, you're here in church, it's time to ask God for forgiveness because I sense God saying you are envying what you did not sow for. Yet you are living in envy. And some of us, you are envying the seed of somebody else and you are not looking at the seed you have. You have been given a unique ability, you have been given a unique grace, yet you are complaining about the grace somebody else has. I hear God saying it's time for you to get your priorities straight. So look at your hands. Look at what I've put in them and use them. If you use them, they will produce for you a harvest far above your imagination. I sent some people here. I don't know why God is saying this, but I'll say it anyway. You are spending time trying to help other people build their home. And God says, the people that I have given, I'm sending to you to help you build your home, you are ignoring them. You're looking for a wife or a husband. And instead of focusing on those people God is sending to you, you are focusing on other people's families. You're not destroying their family, you're helping them, but you are focusing on the wrong thing. Father, Lord, we pray this morning that you'll be our help. You'll be our defender. Be our succor. That these words will bring life as you desire for it. To every heart that you're speaking to, give grace to act on what you are saying to them. That we will not just act out of our own misguided intentions, but as you impress in the hearts of men actions to take, give grace, give understanding, give wisdom. Lord, we bless you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.